Have you ever watched a twin-engine airplane lose an engine on takeoff and thought about how fast things go wrong? I'm talking about less than 3 seconds from engine failure to a full VMC rollover if you don't react. 3 seconds. That's the window. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to talk about a piece of avionics that's been standard in airliners since the 1970s but somehow took 50 years to reach the aircraft that arguably need it most, the autothrottle. Specifically, the ThrustSense autothrottle built by a company called Innovative Solutions and Support, or IS&S, out of Exton, Pennsylvania. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've earned your wings, mark it with something that lasts. Aviation Challenge Coins for first solo private pilot instrument-rated CFI the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Let's break this down. In the airline world, autothrottles are completely unremarkable. Every Boeing 737, every Airbus A320, every regional jet you've ever flown on has an autothrottle system that manages engine power automatically. It adjusts for climb, cruise, descent, approach. It prevents overspeed, prevents underspeed, and in certain failure scenarios it can add power before the pilot even recognizes something is wrong. It's part of the automation stack that's been refined over decades. Now think about general aviation. Specifically, think about the Piston Twin, the Beechcraft Baron, the Piper Seminole, the Cessna 310. These airplanes have been flying for decades with no automated power management whatsoever. Your right hand is on the throttles. Your left hand is on the yoke. Your feet are on the rudder pedals. And if an engine quits during the most critical phase of flight, during that takeoff roll or that initial climb, everything depends on you doing the right things in the right order, within a window measured in heartbeats. Here's what most people miss about VMC accidents. VMC is the minimum controllable airspeed with one engine inoperative. Below that speed, the asymmetric thrust from the good engine overwhelms the rudder's ability to keep the airplane straight. The airplane yaws, the yaw becomes a roll, and within seconds you're inverted at 200 feet with no chance of recovery. The National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, has documented this pattern over and over. It is one of the most lethal failure modes in general aviation. And the insidious part is that the instinct is wrong. When an engine fails, the untrained instinct is to add power. Push those throttles forward. Climb away from the ground. But on a twin, if you're below VMC and you firewall the good engine, you have just killed yourself. You've maximized the asymmetric thrust that's about to flip you upside down. The correct response is actually to reduce power on the good engine if you can't maintain VMC. That is one of the most counterintuitive actions in all of aviation. Pull power when you're close to the ground with a dead engine. Your body screams, no. This is the problem that IS&S set out to solve. The ThrustSense autothrottle was originally developed for turboprop aircraft. The first Supplemental Type Certificate, or STC, was for the Beechcraft King Air series, which made sense. The King Air is one of the most popular turboprops in the world. It's used for everything from corporate transport to air ambulance to military training, and it has a well-documented history of VMC accidents. IS&S received the STC for the King Air 200 series back in 2018, and the system has since expanded to cover the King Air 350, the 350ER, and several other variants. So what does it actually do? Let me walk you through it. The ThrustSense system replaces the conventional power lever assembly with a motorized throttle quadrant. The physical levers look the same. You can still grab them and move them manually at any time, just like you can override an airline autothrottle by grabbing the thrust levers. But now those levers are connected to servo motors that can move them automatically based on inputs from the system's computers. The system continuously monitors a suite of parameters: airspeed, engine torque, engine temperature, propeller speed, configuration state, gear position, flap position. It builds a real-time model of where the airplane is in its flight envelope and what the engines should be doing. In normal operations, ThrustSense manages power for you through every phase of flight. Set takeoff power, it holds it. Transition to climb, it adjusts. Level off for cruise, it pulls back to your selected power setting. Start a descent, it manages the reduction. On approach, it holds your target speed within a few knots. It does all of this while protecting the engines from exceedances, over torque, over temperature, over speed. The system won't let you accidentally push the engines past their limits, which also extends engine life and reduces maintenance costs. But that's not the headline feature. The headline feature is what happens when things go wrong. In an engine failure scenario, ThrustSense detects the power loss on the affected engine almost immediately. We're talking about response times measured in fractions of a second. It then does two critical things. First, it automatically advances power on the operating engine to the maximum continuous setting. Second, and this is the part that saves lives, it manages that power increase in coordination with your airspeed. If you're above VMC with adequate margin, it gives you full power. If you're near or below VMC, it modulates the power on the good engine to keep you in a controllable flight regime. Think about that for a moment. The system is doing the calculation that a human pilot has to do under maximum stress, with adrenaline flooding their system, in a time window of 2 to 3 seconds, and it's doing it faster and more precisely than any human can. It's not replacing the pilot's judgment about whether to continue the takeoff or abort. It's not flying the airplane, it's managing the one variable that, if mismanaged, turns a survivable emergency into a fatal one. The data tells an interesting story about how often these scenarios actually happen. In the King Air fleet, which has been flying since 1964, the accident record shows a persistent pattern of VMC loss of control events. Many of them are fatal. Many of them involve experienced pilots. This is not a training problem that can be solved by more simulator time alone, it is a human factors problem. The reaction time required and the counterintuitive nature of the correct response create a gap that no amount of proficiency can completely close. An autothrottle closes it. Now, here's where it gets really interesting for the broader general aviation community. IS and S hasn't stopped with turboprops. They've been expanding the system to piston twins. The Beechcraft Baron 58, which is one of the most popular piston twins ever built, is on their certification roadmap. And the engineering challenge here is actually more complex than the turboprop installation. Turboprop engines have a digital interface, a full authority digital engine control, or FADEC, that the autothrottle can talk to directly. Piston engines, especially the legacy Continental and Lycoming engines that power the Baron, don't have that. They have cable-driven throttle bodies and mechanical fuel injection. So the servo system has to interface with a mechanical linkage rather than a digital bus, IS, and S has solved this with a clever electromechanical actuator design that attaches to the existing throttle quadrant and drives the cables through the same mechanical path the pilot's hand would use. It means the installation doesn't require modifications to the engines themselves, only to the throttle quadrant and the associated avionics. That's important because it keeps the STC scope manageable and the installation cost within reach of owner-operators, not just fleet buyers. The cost, and I want to be honest about this, is not trivial. For a King Air installation, you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $70,000 to $90,000 depending on the specific model and the shop doing the work. That's a significant investment. But consider the context. A King Air owner is already operating an airplane with annual fixed costs well into six figures. The autothrottle cost is comparable to a major avionics upgrade, like a new flight management system or a glass cockpit retrofit. And the insurance implications are potentially significant. Underwriters pay close attention to loss of control accidents in the twin turboprop fleet, and a system that demonstrably reduces that risk could translate to meaningful premium reductions over time. For the piston twin market, the price point will need to be lower to achieve real penetration. A Baron owner is operating in a different cost universe than a King Air owner. IS and S has indicated they're targeting a price point that reflects this, though they haven't published specific numbers for the piston installations yet. My educated guess, based on the complexity of the system and comparable avionics, STCs, is somewhere in the $30,000 to $50,000 range. Still not cheap, but consider what that buys you. It buys you protection against the single most lethal failure mode in your airplane. Let me zoom out for a moment and talk about what this means for the future of general aviation automation. The ThrustSense autothrottle is part of a broader trend that I think is going to reshape how we think about cockpit technology in small aircraft. For decades, the automation gap between airliners and GA aircraft was enormous. Airliners got fly-by-wire autothrottles, flight envelope protection, automatic terrain avoidance, wind shear detection, and recovery guidance. General aviation got a two-axis autopilot and a moving map. That gap is closing, and it's closing fast. We've already talked about Garmin's Autoland system on this show. We've covered the SkyRice FlightOS fly-by-wire retrofit. The ThrustSense autothrottle fits into this same trend. These are systems that bring envelope protection to GA aircraft. They don't replace the pilot, they protect the pilot from the edges of the flight envelope where human reaction time and human instinct are not sufficient. And I think this trend has implications for how we train pilots, too. Right now, multi-engine training spends an enormous amount of time on VMC demonstrations and engine-out procedures. And it should. Those skills are critical. But if autothrottle systems become standard equipment on twins, the training paradigm could shift from pure stick and rudder reaction to systems management and decision-making. Do I continue or abort? Where do I land? How do I configure for a single-engine approach? The autothrottle handles the power management while the pilot handles the strategy. That's not unlike what happened in the airline world. When autothrottles became standard, airlines didn't stop training pilots on engine failures. They shifted the emphasis from raw reaction to crew resource management to decision-making, to monitoring the automation and knowing when to override it. That evolution is coming to GA whether we're ready for it or not. Now, I do want to flag a couple of honest concerns because I think balance matters. First, any automated system that can move the throttles adds a layer of complexity and a potential failure mode. What if the auto throttle malfunctions and reduces power when you need it? IS&S has addressed this with a manual override that's instantaneous. Grab the throttle and overpower the servo. The pilot always wins, but it does mean pilots need to understand the system well enough to recognize a malfunction and react appropriately. That's a training requirement that shouldn't be glossed over. Second, there's a philosophical concern in the aviation community about automation dependency. If pilots know the auto throttle will catch a VMC exceedance, do they become less vigilant about maintaining airspeed and monitoring engine performance? This is the same argument that's been made about every automation advance since the autopilot was invented, and the data from the airline world suggests that properly implemented automation reduces accidents, even accounting for complacency effects. But it's a real concern, and it needs to be managed through training and culture, not dismissed. Third, certification timeline. The FAA's STC process is thorough but slow. IS&S has proven they can get through it. They've done it for multiple King Air variants, but each new airplane type requires a new STC, new flight testing, new documentation. The piston twin installations are in the pipeline, but they're not certified yet. If you're a Baron owner excited about this technology, the honest answer is that you're probably looking at another year or two before you can walk into a shop and get it installed. Maybe longer. These things always take longer than the optimistic timeline suggests. But here's what I keep coming back to. The physics of a VMC rollover haven't changed since the first twin-engine airplane flew. The human reaction time hasn't improved. The consequences haven't become more forgiving. What has changed is that we now have the sensor technology, the computing power, and the actuator precision to build a system that addresses this problem directly. The ThrustSense autothrottle isn't a gimmick. It isn't vaporware. It's flying right now on King Airs around the world. It's proven technology doing exactly what it was designed to do, and its expansion into the piston twin fleet represents one of the most meaningful safety advances for multi-engine GA pilots in decades. If you fly twins, keep an eye on IS&S. If you fly a King Air, talk to your avionics shop. This is one of those technologies where the question isn't whether it works. The question is how long it takes for it to become as standard as a transponder. Sources for today's segment include published materials from IS and SNTSB accident data on VMC loss of control events, and FAA supplemental type certificate documentation. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Vectorfly, precisely, and I'll see you next time on Clear Direct.